Good morning. And welcome to worship here at Calvary. If you happen to be a first-time worshiper with us here at Calvary, an especially warm welcome to you today. We are so glad you're here with us. We would love for you to grab that envelope. If you're a first-time worshiper with us, fill it out. Don't feel like you need to put anything in it as a visitor today, but fill it out. Drop it in the offering basket when it comes by. That's how we get connected with folks, and we'd love to get connected with you. Today, we are diving into the season of Advent, and our theme this year as we march towards Christmas is God with us. And some of you, if you've been around the church for a long time, you're a church aficionado. I can't even say that word this morning. Aficionado. You may know that there are 4 weeks in Advent, and this is this season leading up to Christmas, and Advent means to come. It's during Advent we remember that Jesus came into this world as God's Son, and we celebrate 4 weeks of that. If you were to look at your calendar, you would see that there are 5 Sundays between now and Advent, or and Christmas, but we are starting a week early, number one, because here at Calvary, we love Advent. And number two, because to make room for all the folks who are going to worship here on Christmas Eve, we're actually starting our Christmas Eve celebrations on December 19th. You have all kinds of opportunities this Christmas to worship here at Calvary. The first is on Wednesday the 19th. We're going to have a Christmas preview service for those of you that travel on Christmas Eve. We're also going to have a Christmas Eve service on the 23rd, that Sunday prior to Christmas. And then on Christmas Eve, the 24th, we'll have a whole host of services. And so we invite you to make plans to celebrate Christmas with Calvary. All right. Couple other things here, announcements today. There are all kinds of ways to get connected here at Calvary during this Advent Christmas season. Many of you saw Roger and Ruthie dancing around in the gathering area. They're celebrating the Advent brunch for our women that's coming up on December 7th. There's an event called Kids and Carols. If you have kids, elementary kids, preschool kids, or you have grandkids, we invite you to check that out. It's going to be out at Gathered Oaks. We're going to have all kinds of activities for kids as well as an impromptu Christmas pageant. We also have another event called Carols and Cocktails coming up. That is not for kids. Just to let you know about that. But check that out. That'll be a ton of fun as well. When I was a kid, I learned about generosity from important people in life, including my father. And it was especially at Christmas time that I learned the lesson of generosity, and that this season is really about giving beyond ourselves. And in this highly commercialized time of the year, we need reminders of that. My dad would purchase gifts. Our family would purchase gifts for families in our church who were in need. And my dad was a little bit of a goofy guy. But around Christmas Eve, he would dress up like Santa Claus, and we would drive around in his little Toyota Tercel, and we would deliver gifts to families in our congregation who were in need. Now, if we did that today, we'd probably all get arrested for doing something like that. But it taught me a lesson about generosity. And this time of year here at Calvary, one of the big ways we celebrate the Advent and Christmas season is with our giving tree. And many of you saw that up in the gathering area there. Every year, this congregation gives over 300 gifts to families in need in our community. And so I invite you as you leave today to take a look at that giving tree, grab an ornament off the giving tree. On those ornaments are listed gifts for families in need right here in Alexandria. We invite you to purchase that gift, wrap it, then bring it back here to the church in the next week and a half. Place it under the tree so we can make sure that those families receive those gifts before Christmas. Every year, our church provides more gifts for the United Way, this program, than any other organization in town. So thank you ahead of time for your deep generosity. All right. Last but not least, we get to celebrate the gift of holy baptism this morning. And so little Soren Dwayne Elliott will be baptized. And Soren is the son of Maddie and Luke. So we get to celebrate with their family this morning. All right. Enough for announcements. Please stand. Greet your neighbor with your name, a handshake, a sign of God's peace, God's love. You may be seated. One of the traditions in the church during the season of Advent is to light candles on our Advent wreath, one for each week as we march towards Christmas. And so Becky and Chris are going to help us with that this morning.
In the life of the church, we set aside the 4 weeks prior to Christmas to remember that some 2,000 years ago, God sent his son Jesus into our world. We call these 4 weeks the season of Advent.
During this season, we often sing songs filled with joy and cheer. We sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." And "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." These hymns paint for us beautiful images of what Jesus' birth might have been like. But the realities of Jesus' birth were much different. In Jesus' day, God's people lived under the fist of the Roman Empire. The politics of the day were heavy-handed at best. It was a time of fear, pain, and sadness.
Today, we don't have to look very far to see that, like some 2,000 years ago, our world today has its share of darkness. We turn on our televisions to news that is often bleak. Tonight, far too many in our world will go to bed hungry. We know broken relationships and the loss of loved ones. Some days, our world seems rather dark and unfair.
The book of Matthew says, "The Lord said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." The season of Advent reminds us that in Jesus, God came to be with us here and now. One of the ways the church remembers that God is with us is by lighting candles. Today, we boldly light the first candle on our Advent wreath, the candle of hope. The light from this candle reminds us that Jesus is with us in the valleys, in the wilderness, and in every storm we ever face. God is with us always.
Better way to celebrate the launching of the Advent season as we get to celebrate a little child in Maddie and Luke's life. In baptism, our gracious and heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity, and by water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God. We're made members of the church, the body of Christ, living with Christ and in the communion of saints. We all grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. And so Luke and Maddie, called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire then to have little Soren baptized into Christ? If so, answer, I do. And as you bring Soren to receive this gift of baptism, you are entrusted with some responsibilities. To live with him among God's faithful people, to bring him to the Word of God, the Holy Supper, to teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, to place into his hands the Holy Scriptures, and nurture him in faith and prayer, so that Soren may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. And so I ask you, do you promise to help your child grow in Christian faith and life? If so, answer, I do. And sponsors, do you promise to nurture Soren in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help him live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? If so, answer, I do. And all of you, people of God, little Soren's family of faith here at Calvary, do you promise to support Soren and pray for him in this, his new life in Christ? If so, answer, loud and proud, we do. All right, Maddie, if you want to lean little Soren over the font. Soren Duane Elliott, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. All right, sponsors, I'm going to invite you to come on over to this side, and we're going to offer a blessing on little Soren. And congregation, if you feel so moved, you can reach out a hand as we offer this blessing. Gracious God, we give you thanks that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, you cleanse them from sin, and you raise them to eternal life. Sustain Soren with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Soren, child of God, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Congregation, I invite you to join with the words on the screen as we welcome little Soren to our family of faith here at Calvary. Together we say, we welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God
and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world.
Amen. Here at Calvary, Elliott's, we have a group of men that build these chests, and they're called faith chests. And so we give this one to you, and inside it are all kinds of mementos of the day, but it's also a space where we invite you to place all the mementos of Soren's life as he grows up. Maybe you'll place his first pair of shoes in here, or his first driver's permit, or whatever it might be. And when he graduates, what I can imagine is this chest overflowing with those kind of mementos from his life. The story of his life would, in a sense, be in this box. And what we invite you to do on his graduation day from high school is to hand him this chest that'll be overflowing with the story of his life, and to share with him how just like this box has a story of his life in it, so also we have a God who has your entire life, Soren, in God's hands. So we have a couple of things in here. There's a little cross that's made by a member of our church here, and then we have this candle, and every time a baby is born, we light a candle, and we give this to you with these words. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." All right. One last thing. We have a blanket in here that's made by the women of Calvary. And so I'm going to wrap little Soren up. Oh, my goodness. Uh-oh. Pacifier's out. Stick that back in there. All right. Well, there we go. Look at that little Norwegian kid. Isn't that great? Every time a baby is baptized, we do all kinds of things, but maybe one of the most important things we do is we wrap them up in these blankets that are made by the hands of Calvary members. And we wrap them up in this blanket to remind us selfishly of what our job is when it comes to little ones. God gives us one job when it comes to babies and to little children, and that's to wrap them up in God's love. And so we wrap this little one up. Oh my goodness, isn't he cute? We wrap him up to remind us that we get to love these little ones with God's love. Folks, let's sing. As we march into Advent, I invite you to join me now with our prayer of the day as found on the screen. Together we pray.
Gracious God, this season we remember how the prophet said, "The virgin will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God's with us. God, remind us that in the coming of your Son, you wanted us to know that you are with us in the valleys, in the wilderness, and in every storm we will ever face. You are with us always. For this we give thanks. Amen.
At this time we hear our psalm.
This morning we read responsively by verses Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. "Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth. Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us that we may be saved.
How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowl full.
You have made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us.
Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved.
I'm going to invite youngsters to come forward, and we have a special message just for you. So come on forward, youngsters, and as they come forward, we're going to sing together. Did you guys get enough turkey on Thanksgiving?
Nope.
Not enough? Well, we are diving into what the church calls the season of Advent. And really what Advent is are the days leading up to Christmas. And this Advent, we're going to talk about a couple of things. And I need your help as we think about this. I want to ask you how it feels sometimes when we experience different things. Number one, you already did Christmas? Wow. Oh, you put up your decorations. Awesome. Awesome. So I want you to think about this. Have you ever been in a storm? Have you ever been in a storm, you guys? A storm? How do you think it feels to be in a storm?
Not good.
Not good. Right. All right. And not so good. What about...
Or not in lightning.
Yeah. Yeah, Lowell, not in lightning. You're right, right. What about if somebody dropped you in the wilderness, out in the woods, and went away? How do you think that would feel? Kind of crummy? Would you be scared? Maybe a little feel lost? Huh? Today we're going to talk about what it's like to be in a valley. And have you ever had a crummy day? You ever had a crummy day? I sometimes have crummy days, right? And one of the ways that we might talk about that is we experience a valley. One of the really neat things about the Christmas story, and we're going to hear about it today, is how when Jesus came into this world, there was a guy who said, hey, remember this one. Jesus is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Can you guys say God with us? Can you say God with us, right? And it's that we're going to remember today that God promises to be with us. And throughout the Advent season, we're going to remember whatever storms we face, whatever wilderness we face, whatever valleys we face, God is with us. So say it one more time, and congregation, join us. Say, God is with us.
God is with us.
Awesome. Awesome. And we're already digging into the sucker. So here we go. Thank you for coming up today. And you can grab a sucker, and as the kids head back, we're going to sing together. So my first question for all of you is, raise your hand if you had a good Thanksgiving, right? Raise your hand if you had enough turkey. If you got enough pumpkin pie, raise your hand, right? If you had enough football, raise your hand. Enough shopping, women, right? Enough shopping. How about this? Enough family? No, don't raise your hand, right? Don't raise your hand, right? Over Thanksgiving, we spent a little time away, and as often happens with my boys, they got up early, and of course I joined them, and what we often do in the morning when we get up early and we're on a little bit of vacation is we sit in front of the TV and we do a little channel surfing, and we came to a public television program that was, it was a documentary, this shows how exciting my life is, it was a documentary about the history of Thanksgiving. And my boys and I, we learned a few things about Thanksgiving. We learned, number one, that Thanksgiving actually has its roots in a European religious tradition, where in Europe, way back when, they would set aside a day of Thanksgiving. And on that day of Thanksgiving, what's kind of ironic about it, rather than gorging themselves, they would actually fast for the day. We wouldn't like Thanksgiving that much if we were fasting. But that was how they celebrated Thanksgiving. We also learned that when Thanksgiving became a national holiday. Does anybody have a guess when Thanksgiving became a national holiday? Any guesses? 1941. Prior to that, and actually prior to the Civil War, different states or territories would call and celebrate their own days of Thanksgiving, and they were all kinds of random different days. But then after the Civil War, the president started naming a national day of Thanksgiving, but every year they would have to name it again and again. It was not a set national holiday. So every year following the Civil War, they would name Thanksgiving. The president would have to name Thanksgiving each year as a holiday. And since then, Thanksgiving has been celebrated on the fourth Thursday in November every year since then, except one year, and that was 1939. 1939 was a low point for those who love Thanksgiving, was a low point or a valley in the celebration of Thanksgiving, because in 1939, FDR was president. It was the Depression years, and FDR came up with a plan. He devised a plan, and that plan was this. He was going to move Thanksgiving, which he had the power to do as the president. He could name when Thanksgiving was. He moved it from our current fourth Thursday of the month of November to the week prior. Imagine how that went over, huh? It didn't go over very well for people who love Thanksgiving. It was a low, it was a valley of the shadow of death. How could you move Thanksgiving? There was mass chaos. Some people celebrated it on FDR's Thanksgiving Day that he had named. They called it Franksgiving, which is kind of funny. Others celebrated on the traditional fourth Thursday in the month of November, and others celebrated it on both because they didn't know what to do. Right? But it was a low point in the history of Thanksgiving. I imagine in 1939, that was one heck of a low point for FDR. So 2 years later, in 1941, under pressure, he reluctantly signed a bill that named the fourth Thursday of every month in November to be a national holiday, and we call that Thanksgiving today. So now knowing all that, when you go to parties, you can sound really smart, right? You say, hey, I know the history of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Well, I mention all this, that I named that 1939 experience, that low in the history of Thanksgiving, because I believe we are embarking on a season of the church year, a season of our lives. And you can call it Advent, you can call it Christmas, you can call it chaos, you can call it whatever you want. But we're embarking on a season where I believe there are mountaintops and there are valleys. There are mountaintop, we have mountaintop expectations during this time of year, but we also experience valley reality checks. We have mountaintop expectations, high expectations this time of the year, what this season will hold. Some of you on Black Friday, you went out and you heated up your credit cards. You got them warmed up for the season because there are gifts to be purchased. There are cookies to be baked. There are Christmas cards to be sent out. There are lights to be put up. There are trees to be put up. There are concerts to go to. There are parties to attend. Some of you are starting to look a little nervous. There's also negotiating. When are we going to celebrate Christmas this year? Our family negotiated over Facebook Messenger this year when we were going to celebrate Christmas. And we figured out that our whole entire family, minus one person, will be together for 2 hours on Christmas Day. And in our family, we call that a victory. And then there's negotiating the meal. Who's going to make the meal? What are you going to have for the meal? And some of you have maybe a daughter who's bringing home that boyfriend for the very first time. And he's from the cities. And he's a vegan. And you can't even remember what a vegan is. And you're bringing them home and they're all coming. It's a season of high expectations. And I can see a look in some of your eyes. Some of you are saying, well, I've been through this a bazillion times. I don't have high expectations. I don't worry. But the reality is all of us, for some reason, call it marketing, call it Hallmark movies, I don't know what it is. We have this voice in the back of our heads, every last one of us, that says, what if? What if? What if this were the year when our entire family could actually be together? What if this were the year when my daughter or my son actually stuck around for more than a couple of hours on Christmas Eve? What if? What if this were the year where I didn't go into exceedingly great debt? What if this were the year that Dad were sober on Christmas Eve? What if this was the year of that Norman Rockwell Christmas? If it really is the happiest time of the year, what if? You see, this is a season of mountaintop expectations. But the reality is there are some valleys. Whenever we have these mountaintop expectations, there are going to be valleys because reality never matches those exceedingly high expectations. I have something to tell you, and you're not going to like this. Those high expectations you have for this season and I have for this season, they're unrealistic. And when our reality doesn't match our expectations, we experience valleys. We may want all of our family around the Christmas dinner table at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, but the reality is there are in-laws who want the same. We may want to buy everyone everything they want on their Christmas list, but the reality is we've got this thing called a bank account, right? And there's only so much in it. We may want every seat around that Christmas table full like it has been in past years. But the reality may be that in your family this year there was a divorce. There was maybe a death. Or maybe there was a family tiff. You see, we're entering a season of exceedingly high expectations. But with those high expectations are always going to come valleys. Valleys that are reality checks in each of our lives. The Bible talks a lot about valleys. In fact, the book of Psalms talks a lot about valleys. Valleys were places in the ancient world that you tried to avoid because it was valleys where there were wars. It was in valleys where there were thorns and there were animals and there were people who would hide and they might rob you or attack you. You avoided valleys in the biblical world. And in the book of Psalms, we hear a lot about valleys. In the 84th chapter of the book of Psalms, we hear these words. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And it goes on. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. You may be asking, what is the Valley of Baca? Well, the word Baca is believed by historians to be connected to a Baca tree that they believe existed way back when. And the Baca tree, you would know a Baca tree because a Baca tree weeped of sap. And so it looked as though the tree, if you were walking by it, it looked as though the tree was crying. And so the Valley of Baca at times was called the Valley of Loss, the Valley of Tears, the Valley of Weeping. The Bible talks a lot about valleys. And probably the most famous Bible verse, we could all recite it by memory, I'm guessing. We hear these words. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, the Bible talks a lot about valleys because I believe God knows that you and I, we experience valleys in our lives. And maybe for some reason during this season of Christmas, a season of Advent, for some reason those valleys become more and more acute to us. We become more aware that there are valleys in our lives. You see, in a few weeks you're going to start receiving Christmas cards from people you know. And you know the ones I'm talking about, the ones with the picture on them of the family. You know that family that looks perfect? Even the dog is looking at the camera in the picture, right? And you're going to have a moment where you're going to pause and you're going to say, why isn't my family like that? Or maybe it's watching television commercials about all the things you're supposed to buy during Christmas. Have any of you seen that GMC commercial where the husband and wife, they walk out of the house? I got one for each of us, the guy says. And we wouldn't admit this, but there's a part of us deep inside that goes, well, why can't I get one for each of us? Or maybe you're asking more simple questions like, well, why doesn't my family come around more often? Or maybe you're asking, why doesn't my family leave? You see, the season of Christmas is it's a season of high, high expectations, but these valley reality checks. On Christmas Eve, we're going to read the story of Christmas from the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, we hear it from Mary's perspective. And Mary is so obedient. She's so beautiful. She's so meek and so mild. But there's another version of the Christmas story that's found in the book of Matthew. And I actually kind of prefer that version. It comes from Joseph's perspective. And I like it because in the version that Matthew tells, we get a glimpse into the high expectations Matthew has. And just like that, he plummets into a valley, a reality check. We're going to read that this morning. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Help me here. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Now imagine you're Joseph. You're like on this mountaintop high. Let me talk to guys. Guys, if you've been married, do you remember before you got married, like when you were engaged and you'd see your wife-to-be? And do you remember back when you'd actually get sweaty palms when you saw your beautiful spouse? Guys, if your spouse is here, it's a time to say, I still do, honey. Right? You get all, you like to cuddle back then, remember? Right? If your wife wanted to go shopping, you'd say, oh, here's my credit card. Buy whatever you want. Right? Joseph was on top of the world. He had these high expectations. He was getting married to the love of his life. And just like that, he finds out she's pregnant. And it's not his kid. And it hits his valley. It goes on, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. This was not what Joseph expected. He wanted it to all go away. He knew when people found out what had happened, he knew what they'd be saying up at Travelers or over at Jan's. He knew the nasty stuff they'd say about Mary. He just wanted it to all go away. So he planned to dismiss her quietly. But then the Bible says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, help me.
Do not be afraid
to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" And then he said, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and
they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.'"
I mean, imagine what it was like for Joseph. This is not what he imagined this marriage to be like at all. He went from this mountaintop high, these mountaintop expectations, just like that, to this deep, dark valley of reality checks. You see, in the most important story we tell as people of faith, when Joseph plunges into that deep, dark valley, the author of the book of Matthew chooses to remind us of what the prophets had said about this baby that was coming, that he would be called Emmanuel, which means, help me, God with us. God with us. Folks, we're entering into a season of mountaintops, and with those mountaintops come valleys. It's a season of mountaintop expectations. Our expectations for the season are high, but we know there are going to be valleys, because with those kind of mountaintop expectations, we know that they are unrealistic, and there are going to be valleys in the midst of that. In the midst of all that, we remember that we have a God who chose not to be off in some far-off place, not to be known in some throne in the sky, but a God who chose to come down in Jesus to live with you and to live with me, to be here on earth, to even go deeper into the valleys with us. A child would be Emmanuel, God with us. And so as we dive into the Christmas season, the Advent season, the season of chaos, whatever you want to call it, I want you to consider this. Those expectations that you have for the season, we all know they're unrealistic. So I want you to repeat after me. My expectations,
are unrealistic.
That kind of hurts to say. But in the midst of all of that, we are reminded today as we dive into the season that whatever valleys we face in the coming weeks, we have a God who wanted to be known as Emmanuel, God with us. And so turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is with you in the valleys. As turn to your other neighbor. God is with you in the valleys. Folks, would you pray with me? Gracious God, as we embark on this season of festivities, of preparation, of hustle and bustle, God, you know maybe better than anyone else that we have mountaintop expectations for this season. But God, with those mountaintop expectations that are at times unrealistic, you know we hit some valleys. The realities of our lives hit us. And so, God, as we march through this season, remind us that you want to be known to us as Emmanuel, as God with us. God with us in the valleys, God with us in the wilderness, and God with us in whatever storms we might face. God, we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said.
Amen.
I invite you to please stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as found on the screen. Together we confess.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
At this time, we offer prayers for our church, for our community, for our world. At the end of each petition, I'll say the words, Lord, in your mercy, and if you would respond with hear our prayer. And let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this season of Advent as we remember and anticipate the birth of your son Jesus in that manger in Bethlehem so long ago. Loving God, remind us each day that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Help us to know your love and your presence on the mountaintops and in the valleys we will go through, no doubt, this season. Lord, in your mercy. And loving Jesus, we know that there are many who are experiencing valleys in their lives today, valleys of loss and fear and pain and even sadness. And so, loving Jesus, assure us that you are there to walk with us no matter what life throws us. Assure us that in you there is healing, there is forgiveness, hope, and new life. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, during this Thanksgiving weekend, along with the upcoming festive weeks leading up to Christmas and New Year's, you know there are countless people who will be traveling. And so, loving Jesus, we pray for safety for each one of those traveling. Bless each holiday gathering with your love, your understanding, and your peace and patience. We also pray, loving Jesus, for all the people devastated by fires in California, as well as the tragic storms that have encompassed so many in our nation this year. Surround each one who suffers this year with your love, comfort, your peace, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, Holy Spirit, Advent and Christmas, it's such a wonderful time to invite and welcome neighbors and friends to come and experience the love of Jesus that we celebrate in this place. And so, Holy Spirit, empower each of us to invite. Help us at Calvary to be a loving, caring, welcoming, life-transforming place for whomever you will lead to become involved in this family of faith. Gracious God, we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to be seated at this time as we collect our morning offering. And just a word of thank you for all your generosity that makes all we do here at Calvary possible. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.